Shoot the Defence, the best podcast in the world. We're at it.
I keep saying Henry's a forward.
Richie, who's the best striker you played against?
Henry.
And the fact that we had now taken our country and put our country on the map of world soccer, being the first African nation, the third world nation in the whole world to win an Olympic gold medal in soccer, you know, it was unbelievable.
If you're going to take the time to go and get a pig head and break my locker open and wrap my clothes in it, and send in a different message to me.
I've had to protect my family from going out into the street because you'll have random people that just coming up and abusing them racially. Even some old school managers who are British, they still have the same racial undertones like the man in the street who they're trying to condemn.
Hello and welcome to the return of the European Review here on Shoot the Defence. I am your host, Dan, a.k.a. Double D, from the D&D Football Factory. And as usual, I am with my regular co-hosts. First, we have Yannickus J. How are you doing, sir?
Good evening, my friend. Good to hear from you. How are you?
Man, I'm all right, thanks. How are you? Because I know when you weren't in the best of health when the pandemic first started. Yeah,
I'm better now, mate. Yeah, I don't think it was Corona, but I was kind of heavily ill. Yeah, got through it, you know, thank God. And I'm glad to be back with you boys and talking football because, as we all know, it's been doom and gloom for the last 2-3 months. So at least to talk about something will, you know, hopefully will cheer us all up.
Exactly. That's how good that you're. Well, again, my friend. And also, my other co-host, I have Coach Kojo from the Free and Midfield podcast.
Hello.
Hello, buddy.
Hey, how you doing, man? You feeling good?
Yeah, I'm good. You all right?
I'm feeling a little bit. What's the word? Vindicated. Are you feeling vindicated today?
Let me Google that, mate.
Yeah.
I'll ask Siri in a minute.
Because I feel like, you know, what we're about to discuss today, we have obviously said it before in the past and it's all come to light.
Bro, don't spoil it, bro.
No, this is not spoilers. This is just like, you know, just like Paul Heyman telling people that, you know, something's going to happen and you should know it's going to happen, but you just don't know what it is yet. What is going to happen?
Do you know what? Yeah, not that I'm an expert or anything, but you're not talking about a team that wears yellow or sometimes black, do you?
It could be Villarreal. It could be Villarreal.
You guys. Right,
okay.
Interesting.
Wait for this. He's
rubbing
his hands.
This has been loading because, you know, teams get W's and everyone gets excited again. And a certain man, even though he's young, I don't have any certain big expectations, but people do. So, you know, I wait for it to turn up to the big game and well.
Do you know who be loving this? Stell.
Still.
Yeah, when he edits this, he's gonna have fun.
we are gonna do you proud in this podcast. Don't worry about it. We got you. Don't worry about that.
Right. So obviously, in regards to everything that's gone on recently, on a serious note, I would first of all like to hope that everyone out there is as well as possibly can be, and obviously condolences to anyone who has lost anyone, a close family, friend, work, mate, associate, whatever.
Here, mate.
You know? You know, so yeah, just like to send condolences out because these are serious times, obviously, that we're going through. We are living a history lesson right now, and there's nothing humorous about that. So, you know, to the less important thing we have here, which is football. Now, I'm not sure about you guys, but having it back has done wonders for me mentally, I must say. But usually we would run through the major European leagues, but currently out of them, we only have the Bundesliga, with the fact that obviously the Eredivisie in Holland and Liga 1 in France have both cancelled their season. Holland did not give anyone the championship. I feel for RZ Alkmaar with the fact that our last review before the pandemic, they beat Ajax 2-0 and we're now level on points with them. And I believe had the momentum to possibly be able to go on and win the title. And in France, they avoided the season, and then they were not going to award champions, and then it was given to PSG, who we know were going to win it anyway. So, as we just have the Bundesliga, this is a Bundesliga special.
Hey, Dan, I can talk to you about the Belarus League if you want. Hey, mate, Bate Borisov won the cup.
Get him, Bate Borisov.
121st minute after extra time.
Bloody hell, Yandy Encyclopedia,
mate. Hey, listen, it was the only football guy, mate. I had to do something.
Well, the Nicaraguan League's only just finished as well,
yeah. Yeah,
but it was something.
I'm not proud of this, but I was watching the Turkmenistan League as well.
We can do the Czech
South Korean. I can tell you about that as well.
Back tomorrow too. We're gonna start.
I don't even know how I still got a Mrs. Boys, to be honest with you. Blimey.
Ooh, Costa Rican league's back as well.
Yep.
Football's going back bit by bit. Very soon.
I think the Danish league's back tomorrow.
Yeah, Danish. Oh, good. We've turned this into a betting man's paradise.
Listen, I never encouraged anything about betting. I was talking about the leagues that were going on. That's all I said.
The gamblers are not.
Oh dear. Yeah.
So just some quick thinking from German Angela Merkel. Things were put in place and the Bundesliga returned on May the 16th. So it was back for match day 26, and the action started off with Borussia Dortmund hammering Schalke 4-0, which included two goals for Rafael Guerrero, who they sensibly moved, was it last season, to the midfield because not the greatest defender, so moved him from left back to the midfield, but he can finish. And I must say, in that 4-0, Thorgan Hazard had a really, really good game in that. Leipzig were held to a 1-1 draw by Freiburg at home, and only an injury time goal being disallowed for Freiburg stopped Leipzig from losing at home there. Hertha Berlin won 3-0 at Hoffenheim, whilst Borussia Dortmund slapped Eintracht Frankfurt 3-1. I believe that game was 2-0.
Much of Gladbach, Dan.
Gladbach beat Frankfurt 3-1.
Frankfurt 3-1,
yeah. 3-1, yeah. 3-1,
yeah.
3-1, yeah. Worst angle there. But yeah, I think that was 2-0 after 7 minutes. I popped out quickly to go to the toilet. I come back and it was already 2-0. That was...
Well, you know, yep. if you're at home, you're conceding a goal within a minute. To be honest, you shouldn't have really turned up in the first place. So, you know, absolutely pathetic. But hey, here's Bundesliga. So let's
go. Mainz came back to draw with Cologne.
Yep.
And on Monday, came from 2-0 down to draw with Cologne. And on the Monday, Leverkusen beat Werder Bremen 4-1, which included two headed goals for Kai Havertz, who's being monitored by numerous different teams. Lovely player to watch. So, Jan, what was the standout for you from the first weekend back in the Bundesliga?
Well, it's got to be the Dortmund game, I guess, but the fact that it's a derby, you know, they haven't played for a certain period, and for Dortmund to come back and kind of, you know, wipe the floor off their rivals was a good, solid performance by them. As we all know at the moment, Schalke are in free fall. So the result itself is not surprising, but the fact that, you know, like I said, they haven't played football for you know, maybe 2 months or so, to come back and put a performance like that against your rivals and win 4-0 comfortably as well was a good, solid start. And you know, we'll probably touch on Dortmund later, you know, surprise, surprise. But you would have thought it might be in the start of a push, you know. Maybe this year they can go one better and tip Bayern. But as we all know, that's not going to happen now. But at the time, yeah, of course, it was a good, solid performance.
Yeah. Coach, what was your standout from
My one is Bayern Munich beating Union Berlin 2-0. Because it was good to watch a real team come back and play football.
Ouch! What? Jesus!
Yep. We're shooting shots from early. We're shooting shots from early.
10 minutes in? Already shooting shots?
Yep, we're sending shots. It's all loading, man. It's all part of my master plan. Don't watch that. But yeah, no, it was how I knew Bayern came back. They were a bit sluggish. They struggled to find their rhythm overall in this game. Until obviously Lewandowski scored his penalty. And then later on, Benjamin Pavard, a guy that's quite good in front of goal as well, and actually can defend as well, which is what I like about him. He's good in both areas. It's very good to see.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he was solid performance from him. It was they didn't really have any trouble in this game. I mean, anytime Union Berlin has something, it had to be self-inflicted by Munich's football. But overall, it was a comfortable performance. They're just going to get into like their really strong rhythm where you'd see them score maybe 4 or 5. But it's the first game back, just like a lot of other clubs. So I wasn't expecting too much. And yeah, they got a comfortable win. It was just good to see them play football again and prepare for another games going forward.
It's one of them professional performances, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I was expecting it to be a battering, but they just like managed it. After Lewandowski's penalty, they kind of just managed the game. Like, I was watching, were you thinking, yeah, it's going to be quite a few goals? Mm-hmm. It wasn't to be the case.
Yeah, so yeah, I was happy with that. Very happy with that. And yeah, it's good to see them come back and play football.
That's right. So to match day 27... which is obviously on the weekend. Leverkusen won 3-1 away at Gladbach. Another break for Kai Havertz. Dortmund won 2-0 at Wolfsburg. Guerrero on the score sheet again. And Ashraf Hakimi, he's flourishing, being used further forward as a wing back. And he's been brilliant this season, I must say. And Eintracht Frankfurt 5-2. Alfonso Davies among the scorers. The first goal for Bayern, that was a nice finish by Leon Goretzka, actually.
Lovely finish.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely goal.
The arrival into the box.
Yeah.
Side foot. Lovely goal.
Lovely goal. Looking like a prime pool scores. And Lewandowski got his 27th goal of the season. Absolutely ridiculous. Augsburg shocked Schalke 3-0. Lord have mercy. Which means, well, they're not going to play again, as we'll get to. At that time, Schalke had not won in 9 after that, and they had only scored 1 of the last 6 games after that.
Disgusting. Jesus.
Leipzig battered Mainz 5-0, which is a hat trick for Timo Werner. Some depth finishes from Werner in that. Some lovely football by Leipzig in that one. And Cologne, Jan's best friend's Cologne.
Cologne.
Came from 2-0 down to draw in Dusseldorf. So they gave away a 2-0 lead in their first match back, and then they came back from 2-0 down to draw with Dusseldorf with goals in the 88th and 91st minute. Meet again. The game was over, went out of the room to get a snack, come back in 2-2. I was fuming.
You're never going to learn, are you, Dan? You've been watching football all these years.
Doesn't look like it, does it? So from match day 27, what was your standout there, coach?
Good question. You know what? I am going to go for not for Bayern this time. That's too easy. You know, I'll go for Leipzig, but it's Werner's finishing was very good. I think the one thing I've said about him is I think I do rate his finishing a lot. I'm not one of these guys that say what else does he bring to the table. If you're a quick player and your finishing is your strength, your strong point, you play to your strengths and that's that. I don't need you to be a striker that knows how to pass and beat 3 players before you do this. If you're fast, you know how to get in behind, play off the shoulder and finish. Perfect. You're a striker. Do your job. Get goals. And that's exactly what he did in this game. And he was well supplied by the players around him. My only issue, again, man, I don't even know where to start. And I know we're going to get to this later on as well with the whole defensive thing in this league, right? But some of the goals that they scored in this game, I know Mainz are not a great side. I'm not expecting them to be sort of load of John Terry's or Rio Ferdinand's and all that. But it's just basic stuff that you just tend to forget. It's marking closer to a player or not giving them a 3-1, for example. Like Werner's final goal, you can see Werner's right in front of you. He's not even like on the turn. He's just standing right in front of you, ready to make the run. So, you know, get in front of him a little bit, block his pass so he can't get another goal in.
something like that. This made it easy for them, not closing down the pass, any of that kind of stuff. So that kind of stuff frustrated me. But all in all, as a striker should do, he did his role to absolute perfection. And I love strikers like that. Play to your strengths, do what you need to do, get the goals, and run away with the victory. And I was very, very pleased with his performance in the match.
There you go, there you go. Dad, what was your standout from match in 27?
I'm not surprised you boys, but Werder Bremen's win up Freiburg away.
Yes, 1-0.
1-0. I just think the position Werder Bremen have put themselves. I mean, Werder Bremen are a big club in Germany, and the fact that, you know, that they're down there, they're kind of, you know, they'll probably go down, I think, this year. I haven't seen a lot of Werder Bremen to impress me. You know, of course, that's why they're down there. But I just think Freiburg were having a good season. Comfortably kind of mid-table, 8th, 9th in the league. And, you know, and Werder Bremen, of course, needed the points. So to go away to Freiburg and do that, and they finished the game with 10 men as well. So they held on a bit at the end as well. That was a massive result. The other one as well, again, I'd probably say Dortmund again because of the fact that they went away to Wolfsburg. You know, it was another kind of question that they had to answer, and they did that quite well. You know, they were comfortable and they were quite good in the game as well. And again, it gave you that hope that, you know, maybe with the Bayern game coming up, they might do something. But as we know, they didn't again. But, you know, them two games for me were the standout.
I actually dropped points there, so they did really well. But I was impressed with Leverkusen. Winning away at Gladbach, because Gladbach have been really good for most of the season, but have that solid 4-2 games. So
don't you find Gladbach so unpredictable?
Yeah, they are. That was why they were at the top for so long. I think they've been good for the most part, but because of the amount of points that they accumulated, when you are expecting them to, like, oh, they're going to kick on here, because then if they play before Bayern, they'll do this, then they seem to let themselves down. But in terms of what they thought before the season started, they're probably in this position that they were targeting anyway, but much more if they were more, if they could manage games better.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, on their day as well, with Plea and Turan, they could cause a threat to anybody on the day, you know, so...
I mean, I know rest is scripted, but to me, it doesn't sound like a bunch of Johnny Garganos. It's scripted, so he can't control it. I mean, he doesn't control creative in the company. He's wrestling. It's not. It's storylines. You know, it's drama, and you know he fights and beats a lot of people. And then when it comes to the main, he doesn't. And then he goes to a slump, just like Mönchengladbach. But hey, anyway, I'm just here to speculate.
I said, coach is on one tonight.
Man, he's coming with the wrestling ones. He's in the mood today, boy.
My God. I don't know what lockdown's done to this boy.
He had these Weetabix this morning.
I might speak to him after the show and see what he's taking for real. Anyway.
The burial. This track, he's on some ice cube tip. Some two-pack hit 'em up business. Coaches on one today. So to the midweek fixtures, match day 28, which is just literally finished. The final whistle just literally gone as we started. El Clasico. Sorry, Der Clasico. I almost said El Clasico. Me, the Clasica. It finished Borussia Dortmund 0, Bayern Munich 1.
What a surprise.
Shocking. Wait. Do you guys know that? it smells like vindication. Oh,
you've got the thesaurus back out.
Do you know what, boys? Dan, I don't mean to spoil this quickly, but there's one result that we did forget. Hertha Berlin smashing Union Berlin in the Berlin Derby 4-0.
Oh yes, 4-0. Friday. Oh yes. Through the second half.
Absolutely. So yeah. Anyway, let's go back to Dortmund because I think we will be looking forward to this.
My boy Ibisevic. scored. That's an underrated guy there. When he was at Offenheim, he was doing bits, but yeah.
Ibisevic is about 55 now, isn't it? Still playing, isn't it? It's been around for years.
Sorry, I was only thinking of Saturday and Sunday there. You not played for Friday night and actually watched it and I forgot. I apologize.
That's all right.
Berlin fans listening in that they might lynch me. You know, but yeah, that was a huge win in the Berlin derby. Hertha doing
yeah.
Christoph Piatek can't get into the starting lineup. Like, what's happened? This guy at the start of last season, first man since Gabriel Batistuta to score his first 7 Serie A games for Genoa, goes to Milan in January, continues to score goals for Milan, then goes cold, starts this season cold, gets sold in January to Hertha Berlin, and can't get in the starting line.
He scored tonight, though.
Jesus is Lord. Yeah, penalty. Yeah, spoiling it. Yeah, you're spoiling it.
We've sorry.
Some people might call him. Some people might call him a Polish Adebayo.
Oh.
Hey, what did you say, Coach?
I said some people may call him a Polish Adebayo.
Ooh.
Some people. I didn't say it was my words. Some people.
Streaky.
Yeah, certain streaks and then going missing for the rest. I
don't know. He's more like a Polish Darius Vassell for me.
Hashtag imagine streak. Hashtag no bacon.
Oh my goodness.
And then Jan saying Polish Darius Vassell. Goodness me. This podcast really is the burial right here.
I think we've just missed it, haven't we?
Goodness me. Alvida Zane Pet. What is that?
Right.
So in the Classica, which I sat and watched in the sun in my back garden, and the day was going beautifully until my phone slipped out of my hands and smashed. Not as bad as it could have been, but I was irate, and obviously I wanted Dortmund to win for the season's longevity, but it finished 1-0 to Bayern Munich. Dortmund started really well, some nice football. Julian Brandt especially looked good. Thomas Delaney moving the ball well. They almost took the lead, in fact, in the first minute, and Brandt threw ball. The ball eventually broke to Erling Haaland after Manuel Neuer came off his line, rushed off his line. Well, we know he's good at that. the best sweeper keeper we've seen. And Haaland's effort was kind of tame for his standard. It was cleared off the line by, I believe it was Jerome Boateng. Lucas Plisek cleared off his own line later on at the other end when Serge Gnabry's, from Serge Gnabry's effort. There was an offside goal for Thorgan Hazard for Dortmund, rightfully ruled offside. When Bayern were cut open again, Alphonso Davies showed some express pace to get back and nick the ball off of Haaland's feet. But then, just before, Bayern had probed, but it didn't necessarily barred, and every effort had cut Dortmund open. They were having a few quick passes, interchanges around the box. The ball eventually found its way to Joshua Kimmich, and his outrageous chip could not be kept out by Roman Berkey. Went into the top corner, and Bayern took the lead in, that was the fourth minute, I believe, just as Dortmund were thinking that they were going to go in all square at half time. And Dortmund again, unfortunately, great pretenders after playing all that good football, went behind. And then Lucien Favre, Dortmund's coach, did something I thought a bit strange. He took off Brandt and Delaney, who had been the better players in the first half, albeit I know Brandt, which is probably why he got taken off, gave the ball away when he had the opportunity to feed Haaland towards the end of the first half, and probably the Matt Craft was looking at that, took him off and took off Delaney, who I thought had done a decent job central midfield, brought on Jadon Sancho and Emre Can. Now, Sancho, I don't know if it was just me, but he looked a bit on the, he was carrying a bit of weight, like he'd been saying Hazard's been eating, and that's probably why he's been on the bench for all their three games since returning after the COVID pandemic. And there was a possible handball as the second half went on from Jerome Boateng to deny an Erling Haaland shot. And then there was a bad miss by Thorgan Hazard, and he went down too, and Boateng was disgusted at him because he thought he was trying to con the referee to give him a penalty. And then the game just kind of teetered out. Dortmund lost any momentum that they'd had, and Lewandowski hit the post with a good left-footed effort, cold effort. And it ended up finishing 1-0 to Bayern Munich. Some very good football was played there. But well, I really know what both of you are going to say because on the podcast before the break, Jan, what were your thoughts on the game? And now it's a 7-point gap. It's over, isn't it?
This time, your fun smashed like Dortmund's dreams.
No big pun.
I love it. I love it.
Do you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna give this to Coach. Coach, this is all yours, mate. I know you've been dying for this, so I'm gonna hand this over to you first.
You know what? You are so kind.
I am. You are so kind. I hear it all the time. It never grows old.
Oh, you fetch. You deserve all the praise, man. Honestly,
thank you very much.
Unlike certain yellow teams, you know, the football version of Lost.
Yeah, Norwich and Villarreal and all that. But you know what? This is all yours. I don't even know what you're going to say, but I'm very intrigued.
Well, you know, we were witness to a juggernaut in football, German giant Bayern Munich. Strong team, lovely, powerful team in Germany that don't ever let teams down and their fans down in league title races. And then on the other side, in the supposed Der Klassiker, you had football versions of Lost, you know, the team that, you know, it started off well and then towards the end, you know, yeah, lost them. And, you know, well, football's version of Dolph Ziggler, you know, world champion one time, they won the league with Jurgen Klopp. And then after that, back to back, and he's a two-time world champion, so it's like destiny, it fits. So, you know, But, you know, this is what we've been saying for, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 6 years? About 6 years.
Cracking me up.
You know, a club that is in, and I said this on my own podcast, shout out Free Midfield, German football's Arsenal.
Tottenham, I think.
Oh, I was about to say Tottenham as well. They became the Tottenham fold later on. You know, Tottenham finished second one time. They also finished third after when they should have finished second. But hey, you know, this is just another example of when it comes to the moments, I can't find you. We have people that go on social media and praise passing football and, Haaland, the robot, and Thorgan Hazard, what a creator. Jordan Sancho beats this many players and all that, and we love it. And don't get me wrong, those are all good players. I'm not trying to like diss them and say they're overrated. I think they're good players. But as a club, as a team, Dortmund are just not levels. And it has to come to a time and a point where we actually rate consistency and actual achievements over style. There's no substance to that team. They're just there to look pretty. You know, they're there to make the league look pretty, for them to look pretty, wear their nice yellow shirts, new styles, you know, when they release a new shirt. People want to go and buy it because it looks beautiful.
Don't forget the black kit.
Oh, sorry. I forgot about the beautiful black kit.
Don't forget that.
Of course.
How dare you?
With that trim, with the yellow trim on the shoulders. Oh, how can I forget? Honestly, yeah. Looking pretty to achieve nothing. It's beautiful. I prefer my teams to win stuff. Now, you know, my own personal team, they were winners until, I don't know, 2013. And then even then, they've won a couple of things here and there apart from the big two. So, you know, there's been some success there. On the other hand, this German team in particular, what have they achieved in the last 6 years?
What have they achieved?
Yeah. The silence is deafening. I love this.
I'm trying to think of a nice word for them, but I can't. Struggling. They've achieved, I don't know, the biggest laughing stock in Germany. Would that be fair?
You could give them that, but right now I think that's more Werder Bremen.
But the thing is, Werder Bremen haven't got maybe the money that Dortmund have, so maybe, you know, I might cut Bremen some slack. But with Dortmund, you know, if they can attract, you know, players like Haaland, you know, players like that. They've got Sancho, you know, Emre Can. Do you know what? I'm still going to let you finish. I'm going to have my say anyway. But yeah,
on that point, do you remember when on Twitter, they went a bit, they thought they were funny because when we had Mkhitaryan from them and he said they said to him, enjoy playing the Europa League, right? Mm. Am I right in saying that Mkhitaryan has achieved more since he left than Dortmund?
That's, well, yeah, Mkhitaryan won, he won the League Cup and he won the Europa with us, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. And Dortmund, did they win the Champions League?
They win what? They can't even win a game in the Bundesliga, let alone win the Champions League. What's wrong with you?
Right. Okay. So, so essentially, they're Champions League tourists. All right. It's like me going to Italy to see the Leaning Tower and then. Right. Okay. So, yeah, the result, I expected it. I personally wanted the slapping. I wanted people to actually realise that they're just not that great, and they are a good football team. I understand that. I do actually respect them as a foundation, even though as in other aspects I really don't, the more important aspects I don't really respect them at all. But Bayern Munich got the job done. They went onto their turf, beat them, 7 points clear. Everyone else is faltering back as expected. Vindication, W's, winning, that's all you need, and that's what you need from Bayern Munich. If you want to love Dortmund, love them away from me, because they're just not for me. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Is it my turn now?
Yeah, oh, please go ahead. I've had a good time enjoying.
I'm gonna try and be a little bit more diplomatic, but okay. For me personally, like we said, I think we've touched it before. For me, it's the structure of the club. It's the hierarchy. They don't have enough winners in that club to go down to the players. I mean, you've got players at Dortmund who have won things. Witzel's won things. Emre Can's won things. Hummels has won things. So, you know, Haaland's won things at Salzburg. So it's not like players don't know how to win. It's the mentality of the football club that stops them from winning. If you look at Bayern Munich, for example, forget, you know the experience that they have. You've got people like Rummenigge, Beckenbauer, Salihamidzic, all these players that have won things, that drum it to the players. Look what they did to their own, Niko Kovac. You're not good enough, so you're not getting results. See you later. They don't they don't accept. Yeah, they don't accept mediocrity. Is that the right word?
Yeah, mediocrity. Yeah, they
don't accept it. You know, it goes down to the team. You know, when they look at Coutinho, for goodness sake, he doesn't get into the team.
Exactly.
That's the mentality of the club. Listen, we're here to win. If you don't like it, there's the door. You know, their ambitions of a club. They want Leroy Sané. That's the ambition of Bayern Munich. Now with Dortmund, what is their philosophy?
In regards to what Coach said earlier, didn't Dortmund win the German Cup last year? So no.
Oh, okay. Mkhitaryan's got two. They've got one. Congratulations, Dortmund. Yeah. Congratulations. Excellent.
Didn't they struggle to win that as well, if I'm not mistaken?
The Super Cup as well, they won the Super Cup.
It's like winning the German Cup
in 2017, but yeah. I'm just offended there because this is some next row decision. What Jan's saying is
the absolute truth. Under Jurgen Klopp, if we're going to be a bit more serious, under Jurgen Klopp, he won two back-to-back titles. And then, obviously, Bayern Munich came back with a vengeance. They won, I think, was it the treble that year with when they won the Champions League? Yeah, they won the treble, didn't they? The league, the cup, and yeah, they won the treble, you know. But what he's saying is correct. You need to build a structure. You know, if you want to continue winning and have a winning mentality, you need to keep growing and growing. We understand Bayern Munich are the big side in the country. So if they win trophies and if it's attracting players, they're a lot more attractive than you. We understand that, you know. As same for Atletico Madrid in Spain, you know, Madrid and Barcelona are attractive too. So if you're going to attract someone else, you need to show that you've got something. And they took that to win a league also, and they built a great side that won the league. They got two Champions League finals. But what are you doing to change the culture? Because you can't forever be a side that wants to, I don't know, build players and then sell them for profit. You're supposed to be one of the two top teams in the country. So what are you doing to try and get to that level to beat Bayern? Not compete with them, get over them and show that you are number one.
Coach, when you're selling three players to your rivals, right, for me that's unacceptable. I'm sorry. I don't care if Hummels wants to go to Bayern Munich from Dortmund. I don't care if Lewandowski wants to go to Bayern Munich. You block the transfer.
But remember, Gerson and Lewandowski, weren't they free? Well, Gerson might be bought, but Lewandowski was a free, so there's not too much they can do about that.
Yeah, but as a free, that means Lewandowski probably knew that he was going to go to Bayern anyway, so Bayern probably tapped him up. So he didn't want to sign a new contract. Whose fault is that? Dortmund. What you do is you tie Lewandowski up to a contract, and then if you want to sell him, you sell him for big money.
Don't we criticise Arsenal for the same thing in this country? You've got 2 years left on the contract. He's your top player. Surely the key thing you do is to extend the contract before the interest becomes concrete.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, again, it's a small club mentality. You know, and for the fact that you let your players go to your rivals, what do you expect? You expect to win the league. For me, like, that's like us selling, I don't know, Pogba to Man City. And going, yeah, well, you know what, we'll try and compete with them next year. You're not going to compete, are you? It's stupid. And this is what Carlos I'm saying Tevez. About... Sorry?
Carlos Tevez.
Carlos Tevez, yeah, it happened. That's once in how many years? When was the last time you saw somebody kind of...
I'm just playing devil's advocate because this has been... Talkman, absolutely...
What year did Carlos Tevez leave Man United? 2009, end of the 2009 season, no?
Yeah, but also Tevez left as a champion.
Exactly, and then the next year, Chelsea won the league, and what did we do? We added quality and we won the league again.
No, Tevez, when he left United...
At the end of the 2009 season, no? And then Chelsea won it 2010, and then we won it 2011.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then when City won the league on the last day, Southampton went to go and buy Van Persie, and he won the league again comfortably.
Yeah, he was playing golf, wasn't he, Tevez?
Yeah, exactly.
But again, why have Man City... I mean, we're debating away now, but Man City's structure is because of Guardiola and what he's achieved and the people he's brought with him. So what he's done is the people that he's brought with him have brought that winning mentality to the club.
They were already in place before Guardiola came. They were already all there before Guardiola went to Man City.
But isn't that smart? As a club, that's smart though, right? You want a certain manager. You want a calibre of manager. Okay, let's say...
It's smart. I'm just saying that they were there first. Jan said he brought them with him, but I'm saying that they were already there before Guardiola came.
But you could be there, but because you're a winner, you change the mindset of the people that are there as well. So Dan, if I'm a loser, right, and you're a winner, and you come in, and you change my philosophy, and you go, you know what, Jan, you're better than this, mate. I could turn you into a winner. All of a sudden, you're turning me into a winner. At Dortmund, everyone's accepting losing all the time. Like, listen, look at Man United, for instance. Man United haven't achieved really nothing since 2013 when we had David Gill and Sir Alex Ferguson. All of a sudden, they were born winners. All of a sudden, we've got Woodward, who only cares about money, and the Glazers. What's happened to Man United?
There you go.
It's, you know, the proof is in the pudding. If you've got winners with a certain mentality, it rubs off to certain, you know, players like Ryan Giggs, you know, your Carragher's, Gary Neville's, who care about the club, who are winners. You know, if we watch Sky Sports, we listen to all these kind of things that they say. Oh, Giggs was a winner, you know, Scholes was a winner, you know. Because their winning mentality rubs off on other players. It makes them play better. It makes them perform better. Dortmund haven't got that. I was just saying, and that comes from the top. And that feeds down. Look, the managers that they get, are they really winners, the managers?
This is the thing. So, like, this is why I'm super harsh on them, because I don't think that they're in the same situation that maybe Wolfsburg were when they won the league. Wolfsburg had a phenomenal season. Graffiti scoring goals, you know, that's an anomaly for them. That hasn't happened usually for them.
But Wolfsburg are not one of the top boys. They're like they did like a Leicester.
Exactly, and that's my point. You're one of the top boys, so why are you not? You know, you've got the infrastructure to do these things.
Correct. Absolutely. So they've got one of the best fan bases in Germany.
Remember as well, though, as you've pointed out, they've not been, since Klopp went, they've not been winning like that, and none of these German teams have got like. Sugar, they've not got these foreign owners to pump a bag of pee into the club. So maybe, obviously, in regards to what you're saying about the small club mentality, maybe in certain scenarios, they've not got any choice. So,
within that period, they still had good teams. Like, cut all the banter aside, the teams that they've had in this decade alone have been very good. They've been very good. When they've lost Lewandowski, they've brought in another striker. Is he Lewandowski's level? No. But he's still a top. He's still a very good striker. I'm not saying that. I know how strong Bayern Munich are, and I understand how difficult it is to top Bayern Munich to win a league. But make yourself more accountable, because it's not like you win other games and then when you come to Bayern Munich you lose and that's that. You drop silly points in crazy games. You could be at, they were at, last season they were at home three, winning 3-0 and they conceded three, and it was 3-3. That's, you're trying to compete for a title. Is that the standard you're setting? Any other club that does that, we criticise them. But because they look good, we sort of give them benefit of the doubt, because in this day, to be honest, it's more entertainment over results. Yeah. But if you want to win, you will value results tenfold more than entertainment. I understand I want to watch football. I want to be entertained. I want to enjoy the game. But of course, if I'm watching you, I need to also see that you've got a winning mentality, where at some point it's like, you know what, we need to win this game. So regardless of whatever it takes, we're going to do whatever it takes to win this game. I don't see that from this club. You've been losing 2-0 or used your 2-1, actually, let's say 2-1, 85th minute. Where's your plan B? There is no plan B. You can bring in Haaland, you can bring in another striker. You're playing the same style, trying to expect the same results. Try something different. Do something different. Because Bayern Munich can start Lewandowski, take him off and bring in Thomas Müller. Completely different. Müller's more about right place, right time. You saw his goal on the weekend. Ghosted in. Difficult first touch and still volleyed it into the back of the net. That's not Lewandowski's style, but they do something different. Having players is one thing. Tactically adding something else is another thing. They don't do that. But it's a culture around the club. Mm. If you from the top don't demand these things from the players and the coaches, your culture does not change. You need to change the culture. Klopp did. He's done the same thing at Liverpool. Liverpool will not be happy with just, you know, yeah, let's get the Champions League and all that. But he came in and said, look, within this many years, we'll win the league. And he's built a team bit by bit to naturally get into that position to compete for trophies. And compete damn well.
And you can see, though, that Klopp's got a winning mentality as well.
Exactly. So you had him as manager. Why wouldn't you continue that onwards? Because he didn't spend crazy money at Dortmund, but he bought smart and he bought the right players. Why can't you try and do the same thing? I know we're in the era of big teams, big money, all that, but you can find gems. Leicester found Kante and Mahrez for how much?
Peanuts.
And they won a league. Vardy came from the lower leagues. And look at the goal scoring record he has. You can still find gems in this era, and they can do it, and they're big enough name to do that. With all the development that they have and the coachings and the way they develop players to a higher level. But then what are you doing to also change their mindset? If you're not doing this for their mindset, you're just going to be stuck in the same scenario every year. It's just disappointing for me personally. I expect better from them in mindset. Just to be quite blunt with it.
Do you know what? I love to get a Dortmund fan on the show to hear what they think about the whole thing, about the whole scenario. Because, like, I'm with Coach on this. It's not like we're criticising them this season for bottling it, if that's the right word. This is happening for the last 6-7 years consistently. You know? It's not like a, you know, it's a one-off and you think, oh, you know what, they haven't got the experience. It's like every year, like, the wheels fall off at a certain period and you know it's gonna happen. And you know what? I was even naive. I actually fancied Dortmund to beat Bayern for once. I thought, you know what, maybe this year, you know, they can go one better. Maybe.
They started the game like they were going to beat
them. Yeah, they started and I thought, oh, you know what, you know, maybe. But then, I mean, even the goal, Kimmich's goal is brilliant. What bad goalkeeping. I'm sorry, he should save that, in my opinion.
He got a hand to it, didn't he?
A little unawares by, like, the spin on the ball and that.
For me, I don't think he's a good goalkeeper at all.
I don't rate Berkey.
No, I think he's a terrible goalkeeper. And for me, he should have saved it, in my opinion.
I don't know. I mean, I think the reason he couldn't save it is because his positioning was so bad. But again, of course, you don't expect too much from him because he's not a top goalkeeper. His positioning was poor.
That's the thing, though. You're saying these positions, because I remember a goal. It was last season, wasn't it, when Liverpool drew 1-1 with Chelsea, and right. Willian mishit his cross, and then it went into the corner because Mignolet was nonsense. I think I think that was the cross shot, though. But this here, I think this was brilliance from Kimmich. Right, so the fact that obviously this was all wrong, but on another day, if another player's going to shoot from it, they're going to go for power. So then if Berkey saves it, then we're going to say this was good. So I think we have to give the benefit of the doubt to Kimmich. I think
that's fair. I think that's fair. He's not his keeper off his line regardless. So the fact that he's gone for that, I think, is fantastic.
No, I agree. The imagination of Kimmich was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was fantastic. For a right-back midfielder, wherever he is, you know, he's fantastic. For me, I think Kimmich is different class, in my opinion. I think he's top.
I'm saying his quality. Obviously, he's in the mid, but then Pep had him doing the thing at right-back, and now he's been moved back into
to midfield.
Central midfield.
Yeah. But the fact that he's got a hand to it, and a strong hand to it, and he still pushed it in the net, that's why I personally believe he's bad goalkeeper. Because the fact that he got there, for me, he should have kept it out. I don't think his right arm was as strong that he should be to push it out. So that's why I think that was bad goalkeeping.
And said bagels for wrists.
And where were the big boys again? You know, you're 1-0 down against, you know, where was your Sanchos? Where were your Haalands in the second half? You know, where were they?
Got injured, didn't they?
You know, is that a coincidence again that, you know, another big game that, you know, they don't turn up or they get injured? Or again, it's the mentality, it's the philosophy.
But that miss by Hazard though was
he's another one that I don't rate. I don't see the hype about Thorgan Hazard, to be honest with you. I don't know. Maybe I'm too harsh on these players these days. I don't know. But
it is. I think it's a bit unfair for these kind of guys because we forget that Haaland and these guys are still quite young.
Yeah.
So, but this is the issue with football fans. I mean, I don't think it's from us per se. I think it's more to do with the social media kind of outlook and different type of fans just talking to talk. But, you know, we look at these young players like Haaland and all that, and because he's young and he's scoring a bag of goals already, some of the fans expect, I think too much from these guys sometimes. And he's a young guy in good form, enjoying his football. I love that. You know, he's confident when he's in front of goal. He's not afraid to put it to the back of the net. He's a very convincing finisher. So when he doesn't perform in a big game, it's like, I don't know. I don't know who's the best example to give of a young player that, you know, started off well and because he went missing maybe one or two games.
Rashford.
Yeah, we're going to Rashford because Rashford, for a while, was quite inconsistent, actually. And, you know, it's like, oh, where is Rashford again? But we forget, you know, Mbappe and the comparisons. Like, well, see, look, Mbappe is not... How many youngsters have had the impact that Mbappe has in the whole football? We could talk about so many footballers that have been fantastic, phenomenal over a load of years and kept that consistency. But just from the age of 17 to 21, there aren't many players in the world of football that have had the same level of consistency at that high level as Mbappe. So expecting the same thing from Marcus Rashford, it's not even logical from other fans. I don't understand why they try and always compare and put those two together to battle back and forth. So for someone like Haaland, you know, he was playing in Austria, not the hardest of leagues, but of course, again, he's still a young player learning his craft. He's a very convincing finisher. He's quite quick. You know, you can see his strengths, but still give him time. I understand he's performing, but, you know, in the big game. But this is the issue now, because he's seen as such a key man. Unfortunately, we have to analyse him as a key man. Yep. We have to analyse him as a key player and say, where were you in this game? That's the problem, because when we're watching Wayne Rooney was a key man, but we also realised that he played alongside other seniors, so we could criticise him just as much, because if Wayne Rooney didn't perform, okay, look, he's 22 or 21. Take some time, he's 20. You know, there's no rush. He took his debut for us was at 18 years old. Take some time with Wayne Rooney. We used to be able to do that. You stay and flourish, enjoy his football, no crazy pressure apart from playing for England at United. The fans just loved him. And
you can't do that anymore.
You can't do that. No. And that's disappointing. And I hate that because it puts a quite unrealistic pressure on these players. Let's say next season, Trent Alexander-Arnold does not get more than 10 assists. Suddenly, what happened to Trent Alexander-Arnold? Maybe he's not as good as we thought. the numbers he's getting is astronomical, but to be honest, as a fullback, if you get 6 assists in the whole season, I think you've done well.
Yeah, I agree.
So him getting more than that is absolutely phenomenal, but that's not his primary job as a fullback. But because of the way Liverpool play and the position he puts himself in and the fact that he is wonderfully gifted with his right foot, he can do those things. And it's great to see for us as a viewer. But the
is it?
That we put... Oh, well, not okay, not for me, United fans. No, but, for everyone else that's a neutral or, you know, Liverpool fans, of course, you can enjoy that and say, wow, fantastic. You know? So the pressure that we just put on these guys is just... I hate it. And I always try and tell the young guys I've ever coached that, you know, it's going to be hard, but just try and block out all the attention if you really do make it, because all you want to do at the end of the day is enjoy your game, and you do not want people on your neck suddenly saying stupid things about you just because you didn't match up to these stupid levels that, I don't know, Trent is on, or a young Messi was on, or Ronaldo or Mbappe. If that's not your destiny, that's not your destiny.
Oh, man. Have you not finished? I've got, I mean, you know that Simpsons meme where they go, stop.
Do you know what, Dan? We've slated Dortmund, Jay. I'd like to hear what you think, man. What's your opinion, man?
No, but as I said, I'm just playing devil's advocate, because you know me. As I said on the pods that we did before the pandemic, I was just basically putting out that I expect Bayern to win it, but I'm in hope. I actually wanted Leipzig to win it. And Leipzig, actually, this season, as an athletic season, Leipzig have done more of a bottling job than Dortmund have.
See, have they, though?
They've just continued to just fade away. When we
where are Leipzig 3 years ago?
No, that's why I just said, yeah, this season, isolated, this season's an isolated season. If you go back to them in terms of a gradual process of the seasons, they've been brilliant. That's what I'm saying. Just this season's an isolated season. They have bottled it the same as it's not called in Dortmund. Remember, when we first did this pod, and we were talking about the German league, it was Leipzig and Bayern. And it's Bayern. Dortmund took their way back into it. And now they're falling away again. So my initial hope was with Leipzig, and yours was as well. We were like, oh, I want Leipzig to do
it. Yeah, we would like to. I don't know. I think you're being harsh on Leipzig. I don't think they've bottled it. I don't think I've got the power that Dortmund have. I know Leipzig are about to come in and they've got a bit of money, but you know, Leipzig didn't bring in a Haaland in January. They didn't do that. They haven't got, you know, the power that Dortmund have, in my opinion. You know, So
the points at that stage anyway, Leipzig were closer. But yeah, Dortmund, I'm disappointed as anyone else would be. Obviously, you lot were expecting them to win for the longevity of the season. 7-point gap now, 6 games to go. So only 18 points to play. Bayern are not going to drop enough points for them to get back into it. Mm-hmm. The league is effectively done. But they play good football. As I said, they need to turn the good football into trophies. Otherwise, that's just all it is. Mm-hmm. Good for little quick clips on Twitter, etc. So I'm disappointed. I just think probably about 60-70% of what you said. I'm just saying a few points, and that's what I picked up on. I just thought it was slightly harsh.
Do you know what made it worse as well for me? And again, this is what I think. It wasn't like they went into the game in a bad run of form.
Yeah.
You know, they beat Schalke, who are I know Bayern are the main rivals, but it's their local derby. They've gone to Wolfsburg away from home and won. So they should be going into that game kind of full of confidence, thinking, you know what, we could take Bayern. This is our chance. And again, they didn't do it for whatever reason. They did not do it.
I feel like the young guys just don't. I don't think they can handle that pressure, but that's not their fault. That's where my issue is. I criticize them, but that's why I sympathize with them in terms of, like, they're always a young team. So when it comes to the big games, you're looking at Lewandowski and Müller. They're not rattled by these games, and you know, obviously they've sold Dortmund back and over their whole Mats Hummels. You know, they're done with him. So take him away.
Mm. But Bayern have got a lot of young players, mate. It's just the philosophy. That's what I'm saying. You know, look at this Davis guy. Comes out of nowhere and already looks like a world beater at Bayern. Why? Because he's surrounded by players who have got that winning mentality to show him, you know what, this is how it's done. You know?
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's the difference. You know, what one club accepts mediocrity and the other one does not accept not finishing first.
When you look at Bayern's squad, though, there was something that Patrick Dempsey, I think, was doing the comments yesterday. The squad is scary when you think about it. Lucas Hernandez, the only defender I believe that has cost more than him in the, was Van Dijk.
On the bench,
obviously he's had a lot of injuries. Javier Martinez is a quality footballer on the bench. Udriozola, they've got on loan from Real Madrid on the bench. Ivan Perisic, me into being my Italian team, is a player, and I didn't think anyone played better than him at the 2018 World Cup.
World Cup,
on the bench. You get what I'm saying? Like,
Coutinho, not in the squad, I don't think, innit?
Injured, but he would have been on the bench anyway. Nicolas Dule, who's one of the better young defenders, out, injured as well. Tolisso, who they were ranting and raving about in France. Sule injured rather. Tolisso injured as well. Like, their squad is actually frightening.
But you see, but this is the point that I think me and Yann are trying to make. Like, what you've said right now is, and to be honest, it's not just a Dortmund thing, actually. This is a football thing in general, because I think we can agree that a lot of clubs lack actual depth. And when teams want to buy players to add depth, sometimes fans ask why you've really got this guy. That's the point. Because if this guy's not available, we've got the other guys to come out and do the job. And Dortmund are another club that their depth is not, it's not great. It's not powerful. You don't really feel threatened by the guys off the bench. That's the issue. So,
but again, that's what I'm saying, though. It boils down to there's obviously a situation here with the money, and obviously overall, from reading up, this is why the German league had to come back, because these teams need money. They need the TV money, etc. They need it, because
because
me and Jan Jetschid, when we did the special on the transfer window, they brought in Haaland, which was a superb sign, to fight off other teams from getting him, but they sold Alcacer. You only had one out and out by striker anyway. Some games last season, they were playing bloody Gertzler as a false nine. So you've sold Alcacer and brought in Haaland. So if Haaland gets injured, you're left in the same position, because Marco Reus is one of my favourite guys, but he's always injured. So,
one day we have to talk about him, because I can't put him in my top players, man. I can't.
Yeah, it's just always injured. And then Nicole Schultz out injured. I don't know whether Witzel Chan will receive Sancho. It's like probably the weight problem, but Witzel Chan, they must not have been in the best of shape after coming back after the pandemic. And you just sit there and you're just thinking that, like, this was just waiting to happen, man. I just wish they could have just dragged it out maybe two or three games more, but it was just waiting to happen. But to finish up, because otherwise I'm sure you can spend another half an hour talking about it. Leverkusen was smashed at home by Wolfsburg, ending their 7-game unbeaten run. That was a really, considering how Leverkusen have looked coming back since. I really wasn't expecting this.
I think this was probably the shock result, to be honest with you. I'm being at home as well, the run that they were in, the goals that they were scoring, you know, the fact that Wolfsburg weren't going in the Wolfsburg, like we said, they're a bit hot and cold as well. They're a bit like in the Gladbach category. You don't know what you're going to get out of Wolfsburg as well. Wolfsburg, especially in the first half, absolutely smashed Leverkusen. It was embarrassing at times, to be honest. Pogacic, he scored his first two goals in the Bundesliga.
The marking on the set pieces was shocking.
Again, this is what we were talking about, and coach is gonna, you know, he's gonna love this one. But it's basic defending, and I mean, I've never played as a defender, and to be honest, I never used to go back in corners because I never used to like defending, but. If you're a defender, you know, you mark your player, you know who you're marking, you stay with him, the ball comes in, and you try your best to head the ball before he does. I mean, I'm looking at it that they're static. The striker just runs in, gets a free header, and he scores. And I'm thinking, is it that easy? I could play in the Bundesliga.
But you know, the worst thing is that because he's a defender, he's walked in the end to the box, and then the call's just come in and no one's picked him up. Like, whether it's meant to be a zone thing or what, I was just sitting there in disbelief.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's basic schoolboy defending. It's not even schoolboy defending. It's even like, you know, when you're playing, it's like, oh, that's him, I'll mark him, and I won't let him score.
Honestly, this is zonal marking, and I hate it because it's never applied properly. You know, we've got teams that if you allow someone to have a run onto you, the worst thing you can do is just try and mark a zone. You always have to man mark because you got to make it as difficult as possible for the player to score. If you're giving two players the opportunity, Bayern Munich did the same thing as well on the weekend when they were winning 3-0 and almost blew a 3-0 lead. You don't give tall players the opportunity to have a run on you. That's absolutely appalling defending. In fact, any player. Because the worst thing you can do is be standing. This is just like human genetics. To be standing there and allow a player to have a run on you and win a header. What do you think is going to happen next? You know?
I think you've got to apply zonal or man mark against the team that you're playing. It depends on the team that you're playing against. You know, I can
never do zonal marking personally. Honestly, I can't do it.
No, I'm saying, I mean, your tactics might be we got to man mark every opposition that you play. You can do it. I just think that if you're going to use zonal marking or man marking, you got to analyse who you're playing against and what suits you better. Not doing it just the fact that because you do it in training. Does that make sense?
I'm saying because he's walked, as you said, his first two goals, come on, like, you've got to, if you didn't learn from the first one, surely you've got to learn from the second
one. From the second one, yeah.
I remember 2009 Champions League quarterfinal, Liverpool-Chelsea. Chelsea came to Anfield. It was when Gusidic was in charge. Chelsea came to Anfield and beat us 3-1. Ivanovic scored two headers.
They set
screens, right? And obviously, the intelligent thing done by Hiddink, blatantly a training ground thing. How we didn't learn from the first one, I don't know. But obviously, Rafa had it drilled into them. He wanted them to zone and mark. I hated it. And to be honest, if it was, we weren't man marking. Liverpool didn't concede that many goals under Rafa anyway. If they went man marking, surely you're looking at people them at hand. Surely you prevent one of those, man. But I'm just sitting there, I was like, oh my days. Like, I actually streamed that, like, but I'm coming from the room and streaming. Well, I was like, nah, all again. But nah, it's just shocking. But
the thing is with zonal marking as well is who's going to head the ball? I might say to you, coach, that's yours. You might go, no, that's Dan's area. I mean, like, there's so uncertainty about it as well. Exactly. That you've got to kind of work on it, and you still on the on match day you could still get it wrong, because you still don't know who's going to go up and head it, because you might think no, that's coach's area, has nothing to do with me. I'm more for man marking, but like I said, if you're going to use zonal marking or man marking, you've got to analyse the opposition and do what you think is best for that opposition.
Terrible. But also as well, there was a six-goal thriller as Eintracht Frankfurt and Freiburg drew 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
Freiburg are slowly becoming the new Cologne.
correct me if I'm wrong. Sorry. I know you're going to describe the goals, but correct me if I'm wrong. Then both teams concede two goals in 2 minutes.
Yep, and Frankfurt's two were to obviously right at the end to level it up at 3-3.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Timothy Chandler for Frankfurt has been moved further forward as they've changed the formation, right? And he scored five since the turn of the year. He scored five goals.
That is ridiculous.
Which is a mad one. I think he'd only had about 10 or so in his career before that. He's 30. Now, but madness in that.
For me, that's good management.
Yeah, moving to seeing obviously the attributes that he has, moving him
absolutely
from doing bits.
Good management, spotting something and kind of executing it. That's brilliant.
That's what I'm saying, man. So yeah, free mad. Oh, come on. Right, and then Schalke lost 2-1 to Fortuna.
That's a shame.
And they've now won in 10 league games. Obviously, we touched on it was 9 before. They've only scored in 2 of their last 7. After a very promising start, I think they transferred at a stage. Could David Wagner be sacked, coach?
Well, if you haven't won in 10 and they're not considering it, then you're in the luckiest job in the world. I think he could be and he should be. I don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the season, but if they don't improve anytime soon, it's time. It's time to let him go. To not have a win in 10 or to have 1 in 10, wherever it is, it's just either way, 3 points out of, well, how many draws did they have? Regardless, it's not more than 10 points in 10 games, is it? So
it's terrible. So they...
That's relegation form.
They're ninth now. Boy, they need to fix up. It could get awkward for them because, as we've seen, Hertha Berlin
4 draws in 10.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Hertha are doing their thing. Shout out Marko Grujic on loan from Liverpool. He scored today as Leipzig and Hertha drew 2-2. Leipzig again. Just falling away, man. They're third. They're 9 points behind Bayern now. Only 2 points ahead of Borussia Mönchengladbach. And two of Leverkusen will pick on themselves about that result because they could have gone over Leipzig. So they'll be kicking themselves. But yeah, Bayern are not going to be stopped, are they, guys? I'm trying to...
No. And Leipzig have lost Poulsen for the rest of the season as well.
And yeah, he's captain. He's currently the captain. So that's...
Wait, hold on. Double D, why didn't you say that with more enthusiasm? About Bayern not being caught? What's the energy, man?
energy.
What's the energy?
No, I'm just checking... Right, I
mean, energy, you sound like that Tottenham guy when they signed Jose Mourinho, isn't it?
That was the point. That was the whole point.
Oh, right, okay, sorry.
My bad. So what, Leverkusen and Bayern have got Leverkusen on the 6th of June, and they've got Gladbach the following week. And then the last thing, they got Wolfsburg, so unless... There's no hope unless, obviously, Leverkusen or Gladbach can do a thing. And you know that they can score against Bayern, but I can't see them keeping clean sheets. So the best hope would be a draw. But then even then, you could not rely on Dortmund to win the games that they've got left to pull anything out of the bag, to be realistic. So, you know, that might cut down our material.
Well, the European places are up for grabs.
That's true.
Yeah, there's a good mix of the European places.
Yeah. Too.
There's such close proximity with the points. Because remember this league as well, Bayern, which is why I said my comment actually earlier. If you go back to like about November, even early December, there was barely late October, early November, because obviously they have a winter break, didn't they? There was 4 points separating the top 8 or 9 in this league.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy when Gladbach were top. And Leipzig, I believe, for second, etc. So it will be a good fight, as you said, for the European places, because obviously Dortmund are 57 points, Leipzig 55 points, Gladbach 53, Leverkusen 53. So the battle between those four is going to be very interesting. And even to get into that last Europa spot, you've got Wolfsburg of 42 points, Hoffenheim of 39, Freiburg of 38, Schalke, who we spoke about, 37, and Hertha on 35. So that's not going to be a bad battle either. So, yeah, we'll still have a decent amount of material. I'm just like, as you can hear in my voice, a little...
And Hertha Berlin have got a bit of a momentum at the moment as well. I think momentum is probably the most key at the moment at this stage of the season.
Well, for scoring goals for fun.
They are. But at the bottom as well, I mean, Werder Bremen have got... they've got a game in hand over Dusseldorf, but they're 5 points behind. So I think Bremen will go.
Yeah, so it can kind of peak for them.
Yeah, I think they probably will go.
Because they've got the worst goal difference in the league as well, so it's looking a bit, peak for Werder Bremen there. But I'm very shocked at how bad Eintracht Frankfurt are doing. I know they lost.
They're terrible this season.
Then again, they lost their two hitmen, didn't they? They lost Haller to West Ham. Obviously, Jovic went to Real Madrid.
Yeah, but they signed Andre Silva.
Yeah, but Silva's only just starting games again, isn't he? He was on the bench. They've got Bastos as well, so you would have thought they would have still had enough firepower, because what Bastos, I swear he's been top scorer in Bundesliga with Wolfsburg, top scorer in the Eredivisie, and top scorer in the Portuguese league as well. So you would have thought they would have still had, not necessarily the amount of goals that Haller and Jovic would definitely have got, but you would have thought they had enough to keep them in the Europa League spot and not be fighting relegation, you know, but...
Mm.
So we'll have to keep tabs on them. But yeah, but somehow, lads, I thought this pod was only going to be about half an hour to 40 minutes.
Yeah, dumb silly.
We're going an hour and 10 minutes, so we're going to... Bundesliga, exceptional. But yeah, so we'll leave it there. So yeah, we'll just leave everyone with our at. My at is at Double D. DUBULDEE. Of course, make sure you're following Shoot the Defence, which is, of course, at Shoot the Defence. And I am part of the D&D Footy Factory. And our at is DD Footy Factory _. Or our podcast page is at DD Footy Pod. Yan.
Yannickus J.
Straightforward is his name.
Yeah.
No problem. And coach.
Mine's at Coach Kojo, a podcast Free in the Field, and the YouTube team I'm part of, Footy _Said, I think it is, anyway, flipping up. Yeah. That's it.
There you go. So that's
excellent.
For the European review here on Shoot the Defence, so the Bundesliga review this episode. And let your people know, if you're going to pass this on to anyone, if they are a Dortmund fan, make sure that they have got some tough skin. thick skin, rather, is what they say, some thick skin. But yeah, that is all from us here. Thank you very much for listening, people. We are out.